Hello, and thanks for joining us. You're listening to TaskCam On Air, the official podcast of TaskCam. I'm your host, Sean. Listen along as we explore podcasting, sound design, indie filmmaking, vlogging, recording, and more with a host of legendary TaskCam artists, producers, and other major players discussing their personal techniques and philosophies. If you've ever seen a blockbuster movie trailer, chances are you have heard the incredible sound design work of our next guest. Please welcome to the show, Robert Dudzik. All right, Robert, thanks so much for joining us today on TaskCam On Air, the official podcast of TaskCam. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and thank you for inviting me. I feel very special and honored because TaskCam is something very special to me.
Well, good.
So I always enjoy talking about TaskCam.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. That's great. For our listeners out there who may not know who you are, you're a very accomplished sound designer. Do you prefer the term sound designer, or do you have some other sort of, something that you prefer to call your job?
Yeah, before I was called like a producer, everything. Yes, I do like produce, but right now I just call like Robert Dudzik sound design because this is primarily what I do.
Yes, okay.
So, you know, you got to narrow down finely, and people will be just recognize you by your sound design.
So you've got this with, you know, your sound design, you're very successful. You've done a lot of fantastic things.
I'm doing sounds, not for film. I'm doing sounds for the movie trailers.
Right.
What's actually be honest with you, the more important than the movies, because when you have the trailer 30 seconds or 60 seconds and you're selling movie what's budget $200 million, that is a lot of pressure on you.
Yes.
So, you know, this is more complicated and a lot of stuff for them doing the sound designs for them then. And this, yes, include Justin Link or the latest Maverick, Top Gun, you know, it's very special. It's a lot of craft. Pay attention to details because you have 30 seconds to selling movie what eventually right now make, I don't know, like $700 million already.
Oh, yeah.
So if they keep using me, I mean, I did something right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. That's such a small time frame that you have to impress people and pull them in and make them want to see that movie at least once in the movie theater, hopefully more times
yes.
than that.
Yeah. Or buy after on the digital or whatever platform is, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to make this stuff very insanely unique.
Mm. Do you recall the, so on the list of things that you've done, you know, like we're going through some briefly, there's some, you know, DC comic stuff, you know, and some Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. I love Star Trek, and you'd worked on the trailer for Star Trek
yes.
Beyond. But one of my favorite thriller movies was It Comes at Night. You had worked on the trailer for that, and that that trailer is very creepy, and the sounds are like spine chilling and just very, and I love like being able to create an atmosphere like that is really fantastic. And so when you're working on these trailers, so obviously you're creating, you know, sound effects, but are you doing, I know that you do some, you know, composing and music too.
Yes, I do composing music because, you know, like I do more like compositions, but basically composition as a part of the sound design. So that is my trailer scores, what I'm doing, the base foundation on very heavy sound design. So there's not too much orchestra stuff, more it's built on the sound design, basically building these textures, atmosphere, like anticipation, something's coming, ending with the giant climax, drop, and hit on your face. Something like make you feel like, whoa,
yes.
What was that? You know what I mean? And when you get the reaction from people, you know you did something right because they want to know what's happening next.
Yeah, well, you definitely did a good job with that on the...
Thank you. And be honest with you, I'm so afraid watching horror movies. I never watch horror movie. I started watching a little bit and I stopped. I can't take this anymore.
It's just too
and
much
I
for
like
you.
And I like stupid comedies, movies, like my favorite movies, watching like Ultimate is like Police Academy, all of them. You know, like old school movies, like Nurse Revenge, Caddyshack. I love this stuff.
Yeah.
But I can scare like shit of you when making sounds. You know what I mean? Like I know how to do this thing, but I'm the one who's going to hide like, maybe I think so. This is what the success of me, because like I'm not watching this movie. This why I'm not getting any influence from these movies.
Mm.
Usually I just see like a picture and I imagine something. What I can make to scare you? Like, And I don't know. In my ears, I just hear the magical tones. What definitely going to grab your attention. The tiny pink or piercing what's going to hypnotize you and basically make you forget about everything. Emotions, just emotions going. What you see, what you hear. In the meantime, the sounds what's in your head is kind of irritating, and it's getting to the point then when you drop, and even just creating sizes, people are taking deep breath, like, you know what I mean? What's happened? Then you ending with the massive impact or something with scream, and people are like, whoa. And you know, there's plenty of people who just love this stuff.
Well, yeah, good job. You definitely do that. You make a, you definitely make an atmosphere, man. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy, but you know, creating this thing and, you know, building this, the sounds and creating this ambience make you feel very comfortable. But in the end, make you feel like something like little tingles going under, you know what I mean? Building this tension. It doesn't matter. It's a low frequency. And most of the time, there'll be some kind of like a hybrid, some kind of like a noise going under, which is basically going to your brain receptions, letting you know like, okay, something is not right, you know? Yeah. So when you're getting this sound, it's like, okay, I got something.
Very cool. Yeah. So also you're, you know, in addition to that, you consider yourself a producer, an engineer, and a studio musician. I know that you're a drummer, correct?
Yes, yes. I pretty much play every instrument, but I teach myself playing very unconventional way, the instruments. So the way how I play instruments, the people will be never think this way. Like example, I can take a cello, and my latest video that I show, I play cello using fishing reel. Because I say, you know, nobody ever play like this thing. I take cello and I change the strings to the bass guitar strings because I can get different tunes. I get the sounds of the body. So that's the way how I play instruments. I don't play like typical musician will be play piano. When I play piano, I'm going to use hammer or brushes or like electric razor. And this is how I'm going to play piano, you know, because people know these tones and they're like, it sounds like this, but it's not the piano player. And I think so this is what differentiates me from other musicians who play perfect because they learn the keys, the chord playing. And when you play perfect something and it's great, it's very predictable. And in the end, we all know perfect is boring. So when you have to play something, if you play something unusual and people are just going to say like, what the F was this? Doesn't matter if they like it, don't like it. You get the attention.
Yeah.
And that's the key. You know what I mean? We all looking for this little thing when people is going to say like, the F was this. You know, you did your job.
Yeah, I like where your head's at with that. I like how you're thinking about that and approaching that. That's very cool.
And you know, like, be honest with you, I learned this from the Hans Zimmer. I learned this interview long, long time at the Mix Magazine, long time ago interview. And he was saying, if someone's going to send me another demo and it's going to be sound like me or John Williams, I'm probably going to pop myself because he's like, people, if I want to have John Williams playing or score, I'm just going to hire John Williams. If I want to play me, I'm going to play me. Send me something when I'm going to say, is this, and you get my attention. And since that was maybe 20 years ago, and I still have the magazine, I keep it because it's very important what he say. I keep this in my mind, and I always refer to this thing, and it works. And even right now, if people are sending me anything to check the sounds and demo, 99% what I'm getting people to sending me, that it's nothing what I never hear before. You know what I mean? And it's kind of sad because people just trying, you know, like copying, trying, imitating, and it's hard. But once in a while, you get some spark and it's like, that's interesting. You know what I mean? Like make it like, what is something, you know, works. You get my attention, you know. So this is how it works, you know, so.
So when people send you demos then of their work. So what kind of do you, so when people are sending you these demos, are they hoping to work for you or are trying to build some sort of, you know, working relationship with you? What are some of the outcomes?
They want to, you know, basically when people send demo, it's basically, and that's the right thing because this is what I did in the beginning. You're sending and you're hoping you may be going to starting some kind of like relationship with this person or starting talking. Maybe, you know, I give some feedback to this person. And I would say 99% when people send me something, I always listen and I always try to respond. But like having over like 100,000 followers is hard to respond to everything. You know what I mean? So sometimes I'm missing and if I not respond to people, it's not because I ignore them. It's only because I just miss because I'm getting so many messages every day or something. So it's hard. And everybody thinking I'm special and just check this thing, check this thing. sometimes people send you like links to this, to this, to this. Be honest with you, I just don't have a time for this. Send me freaking 60 seconds of something. And after 15 seconds, I will know it's worth it or not. Because this is how people are judging trailer.
Yeah.
You know, you're sending, and when you watch, if you grab people in 15 seconds watching this thing, they're going to watch to the end. And I learned this when I was working a long time ago in the radio stations, when I was doing radio imaging and the commercials. When you do radio imaging or something, you have 5 seconds to grab people's attention. If you lose them in 5 seconds, they're going to flip to the other channel. And you don't know when they're going to come back to your station again. So the first moment of impression is very impressed. If people send me so many different links, I'm not even checking them. It's like, that's completely waste. You know what I mean? I don't have the time for this thing. I say, you don't know what you do. You're basically not at the level right now to be at the difference level. You know what I mean? You're trying sending your work and you're trying showing up stuff. It's like when you're doing audition for a movie, for anything else, they're going to ask you for one reel. So people are going to try put like, you know, like 2 minutes of the best work. And you grabbing that, this is how you're grabbing people's attention. Nobody have this time, you know, especially like I told you before, like I have 2 kids. Why full family house? You know what I mean? I have responsibility between bouncing my work, what I'm doing, posting stuff online and sharing, you know, my videos for people so they're getting better. I just sometimes don't have a time for everything. So if people send you anything, they want to check you, they want you to check, just respect you, my time too. Don't think only you are the only one person in the world, because there's so many others like you and people sending from all around the world. And you know, you try and be nice, but basically, after, you know, like 100 messages, you starting getting used to and you know what's coming, you know what I mean? You know if it's worth it to check or not. And it is what it is, you know. But I try to, like, everything's possible. And sometimes if I see somebody, like, send, like, nice message and send, like, so many links, I usually report, I say, be honest with you, I just don't have the time for this thing. Send me, like, 60 seconds of your best work.
Yeah.
And people usually do if they really care serious, because a lot of people don't know this, you know what I mean? So they're trying sending. So they will resend and I check and I always give them honest feedback, because the way how I learned when I was getting in this thing, there was basically like, you're good, but you suck. You have to work on this thing. And this is what I was getting from people. Yeah. And the main message what I was getting, and there was my friend of mine, very good friend of mine, Jeff Berlin, who's in Boston, who's basically, he's a voiceover of the, like the big famous game, like the Grand Theft Auto. And for ages, he was voiceover for so many radio stations. He stayed doing this thing. And when I was on the radio, when I was sending him stuff, he's like, Robert, you're good, you're great, but stop making stuff to impressing other producers. Everybody have chops. Making stuff what's good for people, for the listeners, for the audience, for who you work. And it's take me a little while to step back and do this thing, but I did right. And I learned this thing. So, you know, that's the kind of criteria. If you're sending me demo to listen, don't try impress me. You're not going to impress me. You know what I mean? I see so much stuff just like you and YouTube. I'm active on YouTube, Instagram, or like TikTok. So I see a lot of things. You're not going to impress me. You know what I mean? You want to get my attention. So said something what will get my attention. Mm-hmm. And if you're good, and it's happened before, I recommend people to other people. I say, hey, check this guy. I just send the link. Even for like my trailer company with my guys, I can send the link to them and I say, hey, check this guy. It's good. Or something. It's not happened very often because how I say, it's very unique stuff and you have to present yourself the way then you actually unique. And if you're unique, I'm very happy to scout something like this and help you out. And that's included with software company, with anything, even with Tascam, if somebody asks for help. If I see someone is unique and have talent, even online, I personally can contact this person and say, hey, I want to help you. And I introduce you to guys in Tascam, wrote other companies. I want to get them gear. I say, I really see potential. Because this is how I was treated. Somebody helped me in the beginning. And I feel right now, like, and my point on the career is like, I want to give something back to the community, you know, to people, to help. Because I believe God gave me the talent and I'm thanks to him for this, but not to take with me to the grave. I want to leave something after me. And I want to share this with people. And this is why I dedicate my time to my videos and sharing all this information. Because if I just post a video and take me example 2-3 days I'm making, and I'm just going to get one message from the person that's like, thank you so much for doing, I learned so much from this thing, you know, thanks for doing. Do you know how they feel after? It's like, I'm going to bed, sleep, relaxing. I did a good thing. I did the right thing. I helped someone.
That's nice.
You know what I mean? And if you just, if we just help just one person, each other in the world, we'll be in a completely different world, you know? Because it's like, I always say to people, you want to be successful in the business, rule number one, be nice for no reason. Just be nice. You know what I mean? Don't be nice because you want something.
Right.
Because you can find this thing. If you're nice for no reason, people will recognize this thing. And you say, you met me in 2020. Right now it's 2022. I'm with Tascam right now, probably like 10 years with so many other companies. And the bottom line is like, if I will be asshole and just nice to people because I want something, all of this, my partners, my company who support me, they will be not with me, because by this time, everybody know this thing. You're just using people.
Right,
you have to be nice. So that's my number one tip to everyone. You want to be successful in this business and any other business, whatever you want to do, anything. Keep this in your mind. Be nice for no reason.
Be genuinely nice.
Exactly. Be genuine.
Yeah.
Don't ask. Yeah. I prefer give stuff than take stuff.
True.
You know what I mean? It makes me more happy when I'm buying kids' family presents and Christmas than I'm getting any other presents. Because I like to do just nice, generally nice things and surprising people. Like, and see the face expression is like, yes, make you just feel good, you know?
That's nice. That's good. So let me rewind here a bit.
Yeah.
So a big part, and you know, you don't have to get too in depth with this, but a big part of your story is 25 or more years ago, immigrating to the United States from Poland.
Yes.
And
1990, September 13.
1990? Oh,
yeah.
My. Yeah. Okay. So over 30 years ago.
Yep. 32 years ago. And guess what? Every year on September 13, I'm repeating the same thing. I'm watching Eddie Murphy movie Coming to America.
I love that.
And when I become US citizen, all my friends who come, I don't know if they talk with each other, all of them, most of them, they bring me a copy of the Coming to America Blu-ray.
That's nice.
It's like a stack of them right now.
You have every edition of that on everything.
Yes. And
the laser disc.
And the latest one, Coming to America too.
Yeah, oh, but yeah, let's
back. Yeah, but let's back to that when I come to America. Yes, 1990.
So when you came over here, were you looking for there's probably a lot going on, but were you already interested in a career as a musician or in audio, or was that something that you kind of fell into after you've been here for a little while?
Yes, I want to be a musician when I come to America. I even bring my cymbals with me. But you come into America, I wasn't speak English. I don't have any job. I was live like in the place on top of the night bar when every night Harley bikes come and they play like Pink Floyd song from the jukebox, Money. And you listen to this every night, you know what I mean? I was living in the park with no heat, with nothing, and I want to be a musician. I quickly realized the musicians on my level, drummers, there's probably like 10 on every street in New York, and even better. And all the jobs that I would like to play, do the jobs, they're already taken. So I was ending playing in the wedding band, you know, and I played this for like 10 years, work in the grocery store, and in the nighttime I was cleaning like a car dealer or like dentist office or like other offices. And that was nonstop for the 12 years. I never take one day vacation because I was prefer getting money for vacation than invest in the equipment. I get sick one time in 12 years when I get ammonia, and I was out for like 5 days. That's it. And all these years when I was working, I sacrificed everything to invest in my first computer and learning. And one day, how my story with sound design starting, I listened to one song on the radio and I called the DJ. I called the radio station and he picked up the guy. The guy picked up the phone and I told him, I would like to, you know, like, how can I get this song? And he was feel kind of sorry for me because, you know, I barely speak English at this moment. And he was thinking like something is not right with me. And he's a great guy. His name is Damon Scott. And he invited me to the radio station. And when he invited me to the radio station, he take me walk around and he quickly realized, and I'm all right. I'm just learning English, but I know more about the equipment and the gear than a lot of people who actually work over there. Yeah. So we become friends, and I was coming like every night when he finished his shift and sitting behind his desk, like on the floor, and just observe and watching him, how he's doing all these commercials, the effects, how he's putting. And I was just fascinating of this. And I was keep watching. And one day he was starting to give me a challenge. Hey, could you do this? Could you do this? So I go home and my first computer and gateway, I only have SoundForge. I did the sound effects. And I was keep doing. And this is how basically about 1995, I started doing like seriously, like starting doing like sound effects, what was actually published on the radio stations. And that's a huge deal. Like when you drive in the car and you're listening next car to you playing the stuff that you just created, you're getting goosebumps for the first time.
Yeah, that is very cool.
So this is how I start, you know what I mean? And when I start, I did this job for years for free, never asking for money. So I started in the radio station, you know, and then I met another friend of mine, Brian Apple, who was working at the Compete radio station, and he invited me over there to the radio station, and I'm starting doing over there work, and actually I was getting paid over there. Because one day he was going doing ESPN X Games, and they need somebody who's going to do commercials to substitute them. And they gave me the gig. So for like 1 month, I was doing the commercials and I was so happy, and I get actually first pay of the money. Then they like all my sound design, sound effects, what I was doing. So Brian, no guy, I don't know if you ever met Rick Allen.
Yes.
But Rick Allen was like for me, like a god of sound design of effects. And just like I do right now, he introduced me to Rick Allen. And I don't know that. But he just say, somebody going to contact you. I say, okay. And one day I'm getting a letter and I'm getting phone call from Rick Allen. He's like, holy cow. And he asked me if I would be interesting, contribute to his library doing sound designs. But was, and this time, an ABC broadcast, like, you know, distribute over the whole radio stations around the whole world. And I said, I pinch myself because after like a couple of years doing my first job, I'm doing sound design for the stuff. What's going through like ABC, it's a big network and it's distribute and every major radio stations around the world. And this is how I start. Then after when I started doing this thing, I started doing my own thing. Then I met guys, you know, from Clear Channel at this time when I was working, and they get me to doing the sound design for them. And I was uploading my sounds for free. So radio stations, all then the cluster from Z100, Kiss FM in LA, you name it, everyone. Biggest radio station in the market, or Kiss in Chicago, they've all been using my sounds. So I started branding myself. And one day I get contact by the company in Los Angeles. At this point, they've been called Groove Addicts. And they say, they would like to speak with me, and they're representing me and selling my sounds to the radio. So on my own, I become starting selling my sounds to the radio stations, just like I was working with Rick, going with ABC. But this time I was on my own already. So I started making serious money. So they're representing me, and I stay with this guy until today. You know, right now the company is called Groove Addicts, and they become very successful, very helpful. And I'm with them, I don't know, probably like close to 20 years right now doing. So it's really kind of, it's all start from nothing, you know, and this is what I get. And with them, I start my trailer stuff, you know. Even they introduced me to Warner Chappells or Warner Brothers, and they assign me with my cinematic library just for TV networks. Then with Groove Addicts, I'm doing trailers. Then after this, you know, I promote myself, I market myself. Then I started doing sample libraries. Then I met guys from Heavy Acetate, where I was a big fan of the work. I met with them on the name show. We started talking. They invited me to the project, and I was working with them. Like, I was so lucky because they invited me, and I worked with them on their first Damage library. That's a drum cinematic library, would become like the biggest drum library all time for every composer, for trailer composers, game composer using. And this thing, when I did this thing, that's completely like open door for me everywhere. Because if you attach to the product when everybody's using it around the world, and it's you basically, you can't say anything bad thing about this thing. It's just any respect. Like, you and difference leak automatically.
Yeah, that's impressive. That's very impressive.
Yeah, so luckily with them, about a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, the guys invite me again to their release volume 2. And, you know, I have my small contribution to them. And that was just incredible because the library become, again, blockbuster, another one. So there's a lot of good things. And this thing led me to other things, working with Steinberg, work with Arturia, working with Roland. It's so many other things, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So this is basically how it started, you know. I come from the guy who wasn't speak English. And the fun takes, I learned speaking English from reading closed caption on TV. This is how I learned. So people say sometimes you speak like Yoda. I say, yeah, because I don't know grammars. You know what I mean? I read a lot of manuals. I don't read books, but I read manuals. So, you know, the way how I'm speaking, I know a lot of times it's inappropriate when I'm writing. But at least people know it's me. That's authentic. And I realized right now, you know, when I released my first video, I wasn't even talking. Then I finally released my first video when I speak, and I speak with the accent. And I was very afraid what people are going to say. No, I get very positive feedback from people. And that was just fantastic. And I realized, you know what? My accent, this is what the franchise me from many others.
Yeah.
And I realized, and myself, if you speak in the accent, if somebody speak with the accent to me or Summer on TV, doesn't matter which one, you're paying more attention to this person.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. You just have an accent. That's all. It's not, I mean, it's not like I can't understand what you're saying, which is weird.
Yeah. And people told me before, like, Robert, if people want to understand you, they will understand you.
Yes.
If they don't want to understand you, don't even waste your time. So from now, I'm releasing my videos and I speak how I speak. And if I mistake, I mistake. But the general message, people got it. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, with your, you know, if people are a fan of yours anyways, and they look up to you and they're, you know, they're reading your website or reading about you online, somewhere like that. And then that with your videos and being able to hear you speak, if they're immigrants themselves or children of immigrants, like that's a big thing. And that can make a person feel really good. And, you know, for themselves to be able to see that representation and think, well, you know, sky's the limit here. I can, you know, do whatever I want. And that's an empowering thing, I think. And
yeah, like if I can do it, you can do it. Look at this. You've been born in this country already. Your parents give you educations, everything you have. I don't have nothing. I was $400 negative when I come to America. I wasn't speak one single word. And people say like, oh, because you have connections, people help you, you're getting free stuff. You know, they all come back to 1990 when I come to America and I was alone. I wasn't speaking English. And how I say, I have no money. And to the get to the point where I am right now, there's only one explanation, what I say before. Be nice for no reason. And if you're nice, you're doing nice things, people will do nice things to you. And I always say, don't be afraid to give. You know what I mean? Give many you can, because I believe in karma and good things eventually happen to you.
Yeah. And you're a very nice guy. You're a phenomenally nice guy. And you're also a very hard worker and you're very talented. And things, all that stuff coming together, that's all of those things come to the perfect puzzle to get you where you're at right now. And you're absolutely deserving of that.
Yeah, you have to, you know what I mean? You can be only good things. Today, you not only have to be good at what you're doing, you also have to be good at how you're going to present yourself, how you're going to market yourself.
Absolutely.
That's very important, because, and today's generation is basically sky at the limit. The days when you can just send a resume and somebody looking at this thing, that's like old school. That's right now, internet, and especially what we're doing right now, no matter where you are, like I live in a very small town in the East Coast, and you know, I have like 7 miles to the closest grocery store. And doesn't mean I'm not going to produce stuff for the big Hollywood blockbuster movies or sounds for around the world and with distributor. So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you live in India, if you live in Russia, Germany, somewhere in Europe or South America or Canada. We all have the same opportunity. But you have to learn not only what you're doing in your craft, you have to learn how you market yourself, how you present yourself to the world. And that's the scales, you know what I mean? That's the other thing.
So let me shift back to your, how you actually, you know, your sound design process. So I am very curious. So you've got a lot of fantastic, I don't know, a lot of your stuff is very, very creative and I love that. And like we were talking about earlier, can create this atmosphere, like in these spooky trailers and things like that. So this is kind of a two-part question here. So when you're making these sounds, do you have the idea for the sound already in your head that you can hear and then you try to get it out? Or do you start recording and then as you start building layers of sounds, does that all kind of come together to make the end product? Or maybe a mixture of the two?
Okay, so there's two different ways how I'm working in sound. Like a lot of times, and when it's very cold and winter time, I'm like a hamster. During the summer, I collecting many sounds. I'm going recording anything because it's summer, so I can go, it's warm, or spring, I'm going to the junkyard, any places when you go outside, to the river, to the forest, recording ambience, anything what I can do outside. In the winter time, I kind of hibernate myself, close myself, and I'm editing all these sounds and prepare. Then my stage, how I'm working after on the sound. Usually if I work in the movie, if that's a sequel or something, a lot of times the title or the movie poster, because you know, before the trailer comes, they usually release like a first poster or something. Posters will tell you a lot, and that's a good exercise what I will recommend to the people. You know, like, if, example, if you're going to work in, example, like a Top Gun movie, you know, you look on this poster and what you see, you're going to see plane, you're going to see sky, you're going to see some army uniforms, and maybe some butter or something. That give you a lot ideas already for creating the sounds and how the sound's going to be used. It's me. You're going to have to creating some kind of like a jet fighter sound effects. It's me, and that includes like launching, shooting missiles, you know what I mean? Cockpit, breathing to the mask. Anything what you see on the picture of the poster, try identify this with the sound effects of this thing. You know what I mean? Which sound, if there will be picture, movie, short, which sound you will be placed over there. So basically, this is how I see. And if I see like there was quiet place, okay, quiet place in the tree, you're going to make this sounds of the forest sound scary. So basically, it's silent. But when you made the cracking bone or the tree sound, you made the sounds like people like, ooh, what was this thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah. You
have to have different approach. So this is basically how I approach, you know what I mean? And during the summer when I record stuff and in the spring on a location for flying, I have huge database of the sounds. And when I'm working, I just pulling them after and I say, okay, this will work. This will work. I can record this thing and add to this element and starting to overlay them. But all of them and the content of what will be matching the poster was up from me. And I developed this technique long time ago when I was looking for idea when I created my first library of the sound for the movies, for the cinema sound tools for the TV. I basically was pulling posters from the websites from like, you go like, sort of type like movie posters and Google, go images, and there's like millions of them. Pick up the one and work on the details of the sound. And doesn't matter, it's a poster of the Flashdance, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, or Jurassic Park. Each of the poster, it's a potential job, and it's a challenge to recreating anything what you see, because when you're going to see like Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, you know what I mean, poster, you're going to see dinosaurs, you're going to have to create the sounds of the monsters, little miser, big monster, some bloody things, some chopping, some cracking sounds, you know, like huge wing sounds or something, some breaking branches, trees, screams, all this, because that's what's creating. So the one poster gives you so many ideas to creating this. So what I mean, based on the one poster, I will be able to write whole entire book of step by step, the involving sounds, what's going in this process, what I was using to creating these sounds, to just to cover this one picture. And there will be like a learning value book just of this thing. And if you can master this thing, you can pretty much everything. Because, you know, like I always say, if you know your tools, you're already done, because the idea is the hardest thing. When you come with the idea of the sounds, what you want to do, you already win because you know your tool and you know how to accomplish this thing. So this is why when I look at the poster, I know my tools and I know which filter is. If I will work on the Star Wars, I know how to do the sound of the lightsaber. I know how to do the sounds or, you know, of the jets flying, or you name it, or the speed racers, everything. I know how to do the breathings, everything, the signature sounds, you know what I mean, the computer electronic sounds. I can do this thing because I know my tools. So I know this thing. So the hardest thing is idea. You know, so when you get the idea, this is how it works. But this is what's coming. You're getting your sounds, what you record in the spring and summer for me. And you're starting making them in the winter time for me because, you know, we have a winter here. So it's basically like, imagine you have a giant boxes of Legos. You're putting these all pieces together and just creating something cool. Uh-huh. So it's like, you know, I play with Legos every day, you know?
Yeah.
And a long time ago, a friend of mine, Brian, Rick Vaughn, actually, who was my program director, he explained to me, I was like, Robert, what are you doing on the radio? It's like cooking because he loves cook. The more you cook, the better you're going to become. So don't be afraid adding all your spices. So basically, it's how I do. When I do sound design, I'm taking EQ, compression, flanger, reverbs, effects, like stutter effects, you name it. And a cutoff filters. This is for me, the spices. And the more you're using them, the more you're adding to this thing, eventually, no matter what you're going to do, it's going to be taste good and sounds good because you find the right balance. Just like good chef. You can give him like piece of meat and something and he's going to come with something incredible. Never did before because he know the exactly balance, how much you have to put everything to make this thing sounds right. You know what I mean? So same thing with the sound design. Right now I get to the levels when I hear what to add, what to creating the sounds to make this sounds right. And probably this way the trailer houses, you know, like contact me and using my stuff or networks or radio stations because they know I know what I'm doing. They can give me very brief description and I will do the way how they're expecting. Because if somebody gonna ask you like, we need new sounds, like new gun effects. I say, okay, there's like probably 10,000 different sound effects of shooting guns everywhere, everybody recording guns. But when they come to me and they ask for the gun effects, they know it's going to be gun effects, but it's going to be the gun effects how they're expecting coming from me. Mm. So it's going to have the unique personality, identity, where this gun effects will be recognized with something like, whoa, that was cool. You know what I mean? It's not typical gun. You make this more ballsy, more punchy, everything, you know, like you're basically creating this definition to this one signature sound, make the sound very unique. So this is why they contact me, because they know I know the balance, how to deliver the stuff what they're expecting. And I just use as a one example, just the gun, but there's so many other things, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very fascinating. That's cool. Okay. So you've had about a decade now as being a Tascam artist, correct?
Yes.
Were you using Tascam gear before you were a Tascam artist?
Yeah. Actually, I have under my desk, I still have my original DAT recorder from radio station, the big one.
Nice.
I think so. What was the model? It's Tascam DA30MK2. It's like
nice. That's
cool. Big DAT machine. So that was on the radio station. Then, and one moment on my stage, yes, my first recorder what I buy, there was the DAT Sony recorder, TD7, because there was no digital recorders. That was the thing at the time when I start. And after this thing, I find like little M-Audio recorder when they just come with digital, and that's completely changed my life. And the funny thing, I purchased this recorder like 10 years ago. Even then, I don't make them anymore. I find it in Guitar Center. And I just buy for myself as I have so many. That's my first digital recorder I have. So I have it with me. Then after this, you know, I discover Zoom. And I get like the Zoom, I think so, H1, like the little one. And that was big step up from the M-Audio. Then they come with the Zoom H6. And I say, whoa, that's pretty cool. You know what I mean? I started listening, but that was okay. And it's get to the point when I need more inputs. And I did research and I find out those Tascam DR680 will have better specs. Those more expensive, but I can plug more microphones. So I buy this Tascam. And when I record the sounds and what I hear, it's like, whoa, that was completely different. My sound was not anymore thin. No sound like a plasticky, starting having like a low end frequencies. Everything is like everything what I was missing. It's basically make me go grab my Tascam back to these locations and re-record these sounds over again compared to like the H6 Zoom what I have. And month later, my old Zoom with all the microphones was already on eBay sold out. It's like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is how quickly I switched to this thing. Then I get myself like little handle Zoom Tascam recorder. And again, think that the sounds just become warm. And I say, okay, that's the sound, you know? Then I met with the guys, you know, actually Dan Pilbar, a friend of mine, who at this time he was working for the Gibson and Tascam. He introduced me to Will at Tascam and Will said, yeah, sure, I can help you. And he sent me like some first, like a floor models of like recorders. And I started using them. I was like, holy cow, I can't believe this thing is great. They sent me the mic, the recorders. And since then, I have a chance to explore, experiment with other recorders from other companies. And I never pick them up, you know, because I get right now to the point when I can get any recorder I want. No, I just stick with Tascam because this is my sound. You know what I mean? Same thing like with the microphones, like I'm using Rode microphones because I like the warm sound. And like, you know, like the Sennheiser and Neumann is like 30 minutes away from me where I live. The main office where they're doing a lot of stuff, they're right here. And I know people who work over there. And I have all the microphones. I'm not using them. Because it's just not my sound, you know what I mean? I find what's worked for me, I find the sound, and I stick because I like my sounds to be warm and open, and I think so this is what I'm getting. So everything what I capture in Tascam, you know, it just sounds right. And I'm very happy about this thing, you know?
Oh, good. Have you been using the new Porter Capture X8, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I think I saw some pictures of you with that, yeah.
Yeah, yes. And I post the whole videos online, example how I'm using. And actually, you know, I have the Porta Capture 6 or 8 months even before release. They sent me from Japan the prototypes, the first versions. So I was going through a lot of hassle, but from the beginning it was working and the sound's great. And it's just, you, I absolutely love it. You know what I mean? I see like reviews, people online, they're trying competing to something and they talk about, oh, there's maybe like some high noise or something. I say, if you can find some spectrum noise and some analyzer, what you not even hear, but you see over there, it's about your human ears hearing anyway.
Yeah.
And I always say, no matter what, the noise when you record any noise, it's a part of the character of the sound. And if maybe if there's any noise, because I'm going everything by the ears, not by like the specs. That's the sound, you know what I mean? I like it. So I want them to make it this way. But one thing I can say, you know what I mean? If you compare to this thing, try plug, you know what I mean? I don't want to say the name of the brand, other company. But you see the heavy advertising. Plug the recorder and go see the specs. I think so you're going to feel like you go to the hotel and you take fluorescent light and you can put on the back of carpet and you see all this stuff going like whoa. you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, you can buy something cheaper and mass. It's a reason why. You're paying for the components what you put inside.
Yeah.
For the quality material and especially the components of the preamps, everything, what's inside. You know, yeah. It's maybe not going to look like the fanciest things ever in the world, like sci-fi or whatever this thing, you know, looking cool. This is not what about, you know what I mean? It's about the sound of the quality of the sound.
Agreed. Yeah. That's the main job of it.
So this is why I'm using, and you know, this is what I say to people, you know what I mean? You're getting what you pay for. It's like, you know, people buy Hyundai, they can buy BMW. The boat's going to do the same thing, cars, but the comfort, the quality of your drive, it's going to be different. Your full experience of the riding, it's different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is how I see, you know. The boat's going to do the same thing, but people buying this because they want to feel more comfortable, enjoy, and they want to get the right thing. Because if you think people spend a lot of time in the cars, so they want to sit comfortable. They want to have everything they want, be in the right way, and they want to enjoy this thing. Same thing with the recorder, you know. You're paying for the quality, especially for the components what's inside. Not for the fancy marketing, what you see.
Robert, I know you're a busy guy. I got a lot of stuff on your plate. So I just want to thanks for joining us on the podcast. It was fantastic talking to you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me too. You know, I have so much fun. And as you see, like, you know, like when it's come to the sound design and sound and gear, I'm the geek. I love to talk about this stuff because I love what I'm doing. And this is another quote that I always say. If you find doing what you love, what you do, you will never work to the rest of your life. And this is how I feel, you know. I'm getting paid for play.
There you go. Good advice.
Yep.
Good.
Thank you.
Good advice. All right. Well, anyways, well, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And get out there and make some cool sounds. And we'll be listening for your stuff in the future here.
Awesome. Thank you for having me and talk to you guys soon.